It seems clear that human beings have an innate ability to experience satisfaction through work. And further, there's a link between work satisfaction and life satisfaction. Lucky for us, since a major portion of our allotted time on Earth is spent working. Still, it may require some effort to identify and remove the obstacles that prevent us from experiencing the joy at work that is our birthright. In our discussions, the Dalai Lama had offered an approach to beginning that process. But there was still something bothering me, still something missing. Noting that the Dalai Lama always seemed so happy no matter what activity he was engaged in, I had begun our discussions by questioning him about how he views his own work or job, in an attempt to discover what role work played in his own sense of fulfillment and happiness. My initial efforts in getting him to talk about his own job had proved fruitless, but now I thought it worthwhile to return to the subject once again. The question was how to approach the subject again in a way that would elicit a more complete response. A thought suddenly occurred to me as I remembered a brief exchange that had taken place the year before, while the Dalai Lama was in the middle of an intensive 3-week speaking tour in the U.S. It was the end of an exhausting day. The Dalai Lama was in the final moments of a public address, given in a large Midwestern city. As customary, in the final minutes of his talk, he was fielding the standard questions from the audience, ranging from, "What's the current status of the political situation in Tibet?" to, "Do you have a girlfriend?" Sitting on a folding chair backstage, I was on the verge of nodding off when I suddenly became fully alert, startled by a question I had not heard before, a simple yet fundamental question that somehow I had failed to ask him during our many meetings over the years. "You often speak about happiness," he was asked, "and you even claim that the purpose of our existence is happiness. So I'm wondering, when was your happiest moment?" The Dalai Lama was slow to reply, as if he had all the time in the world. And when he finally answered, it was as if he were chatting with a group of friends while drinking tea on the front porch of his home, instead of addressing thousands in a public arena, all of whom were eagerly anticipating his response.
"I don't know. There have been so many happy moments. So many. I think that perhaps it was when I passed my Geshe exams. I remember it was such a relief when I was finished. I was so happy."
Booming over the loudspeakers, his mirthful laugh resounded throughout the arena, reverberating in the hearts of each of his listeners. I remembered how the Dalai Lama had responded to that question so cheerfully and breezily dismissed the subject so quickly that he left one with the impression of a young Dalai Lama sitting down at a Formica desk in a clean, temperature-controlled classroom, answering some multiple-choice questions and writing a few essays, handing in his blue book and picking up his diploma on his way out the door. The reality of the situation was far different. The Geshe degree, akin to a PhD in Buddhist philosophy, is the culmination of 17 years of hard work. It involves intensive study of many branches of Buddhist theory, logic, debate, and psychology. His field of study was riddled with arcane topics, and with courses so tough that I'd have to dust off my dictionary even to find out what the course title meant. Let's see, epistemology, the study of the nature of knowledge. The oral exam lasted a full day, as Tibet's top scholars from the country's best monastic universities fired questions at him in front of thousands of monks and scholars. Added to this tremendous pressure for Tibet's young leader, the political situation in Tibet was so tense that for the first time in history there were armed guards, both Tibetan and Chinese, poised around the large courtyard, waiting for trouble to erupt at any moment. There had been a threat to his life, which he had been made aware of.